So we begin a series, talking to my father, or talking with my father. You might ponder if there's any difference. And I've been given the title for this evening, Invited to Pray. Well, it sounds, raises the question, doesn't it? What prayer is? What is prayer? It's worship of Almighty God. It is praising Him and thanking Him. It is a response to His powerful working by the Holy Spirit in our lives, His very gracious shedding of His light into our darkness, granting us saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, showering upon us His great love. Isn't that awesome? Because we need not be in that situation. We would not, had He not spoken to us, drawn us, given us faith in Jesus, changed us. So we come to God in worship. But don't we come as well in humble confession? Never to brag about how well we have done. Those, I suggest to you, are essential ingredients of prayer. Oh yes, bringing our requests to God is part of prayer. But it should never replace our being aware of God's presence with us and goodness to us. Our petitions are part of our communion with God, but never all that prayer is about. What's the context as we come to this? Well, there's us. What's our context this evening? God has brought us here. He has things to teach us. He wants to remind us about prayer. Maybe search our hearts on the matter of prayer. Maybe teaching us and challenge us about prayer. But what was the context of this parable in the life and teaching of Jesus? If you look earlier in Luke's Gospel, you'll see where he'd got to. Jesus had been teaching about the good news. I'll read it to you from chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." No longer just an anticipation that a Savior or Messiah would come. Jesus saying it was being fulfilled in Him. And then, soon after, He calls His disciples to respond to His preaching. And they saw the miracles. He gave them much teaching by His words and His behavior. For example, He said, "Love your enemies," chapter 6. And remember, I'm sure that it was revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus told His disciples about His death, chapter 9. And Jesus taught them about the cost of discipleship. And chapter 17 is about the second coming of Christ, the Son of Man. And we know that often Jesus taught through parables, memorable stories with a meaning for us to ponder. We have one of them tonight in Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow. This widow couldn't offer much, except that she had a good case against someone who was treating her unjustly. But first, what does this parable not mean? Oh, this parable has much to teach us. But Jesus was not saying God is like the unjust judge. The parable does not teach that God is like the judge. We have to bother Him, trouble Him, until you can wear Him out. God can't be like that, can He? There's a contrast between God and the unjust judge, not a similarity. What then does the parable mean? Well, actually, verse 1 tells us, doesn't it? Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus had already taught about prayer. You can read about it in Luke chapter 11. I'll read to you just verses 9 to 13 in the chapter. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" to be a disciple of Jesus always includes being a person of prayer. It seems that Jesus knew his disciples needed that teaching. Could it be that his disciples were inclined or tempted to give up praying? Can we? Too busy, too tired, too troubled, too disappointed, too much giving priority to other things, too scared to face God, knowing that my sins would embarrass me so much. Or frankly, I can't be bothered. If so, well, God knows. And here in this parable he's teaching us, we need to hear this parable. We should always pray and not give up. I can't remember a book, but one book I read about prayer said, if you don't feel like praying, tell God that, because you will then discover you are praying, being honest with God. So we begin to see what the parable means. And I want to move on to why should we persist in prayer. I'm going to read to you verses 7 and 8 in Luke 18. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? If you're a Christian, God has hugely blessed you. You're among his elect, his chosen ones. Don't miss what verse 7 says about those disciples. They cry out to him day and night. We know from the Old Testament that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Think about it. Here's one way. First, Daniel didn't think, I've prayed once, job done. More than once a day is fine. 2 or 3 times a day is fine. In fact, there's no maximum. But secondly, what verse 7 says is, the followers of Jesus cry out to him day and night. Any time of day or night. I remember once being told, you can't pray when you're in bed. You have to get up and pray. I discover in the middle of the night you can pray, even in bed. You can pray any time of day and night if you wish. Pray often. But verse 7 ends with a question. When his people pray, will God keep putting them off? The answer is meant to be obvious. God won't ignore his people when they pray. God loves them. He loves to hear them pray. They matter to him. Think what he's done to save them. God's never otherwise engaged, so can't hear our prayers. He's never too busy. He never stops caring. Think of the length to which God went to save you and me. Is he now going to be deaf to our prayers and give up on us? No, never. That is a very good reason for persisting in prayer. The start of verse 8 says more on this. I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. When you pray, God is quickly on your case and will see that you are treated fairly as one of his children. Oh, of course God will hear. He knows everything. He knows when you're praying. But if you've discovered that does not mean he will quickly grant exactly what you request. Sometimes God won't give you exactly what you ask for or when you want it. One reason can be that we're trying to hide our sins, to give the impression that we don't think they matter, that we can ignore our sins, pretend all is well when it isn't, and carry on relating to God as if all is well. God knows if we are pretending. Also, God knows the big picture, the end from the beginning, whereas I don't. God knows better than we do. He may have things to teach us. He may have for us, have you discovered this, a blessing that you hadn't thought of and hadn't been asking for. But it comes, maybe different from what you asked. That's how good God is. Wait and see. He may be showing us that prayer is not my trying to persuade God to do my will, but asking God to help me to find and to do his will. God may be testing us. But the explanation, if your prayers aren't answered just as you put them, is never that God doesn't care or hasn't the resources to hear and answer. Think what God has done out of his wonderful and unfailing love for you. And then remember, this is the God who has invited you to pray. What a privilege, friends, to pray to such a God. A basic mark of every true Christian is that they pray. Some pray silently. Others sometimes pray out loud. That's not the point. The point is that every Christian is a praying person. If you thought that you're a Christian, but honestly you've never prayed, then you have a problem. Hard to see how you really are a Christian if you don't pray and never have. But here in this place, if that is you, it could change tonight. You could pray to Almighty God. I suggest you talk to someone you trust about it. Sure, we pray because we need to. In Ephesians 6, all the armor we need in our battle with the devil is stated. And then Paul said in his letter, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. The devil would love to stop us praying, love to stop us going to Almighty God for power and strength. He's onto a winner then if he can make us give up praying, think we're sufficient on our own. Yes, pray because we need to. And pray because we're commanded to. But pray too because it is such a great privilege. Why persist in prayer? God is your Heavenly Father. If a child spends a day with his or her father and says hello at the beginning and goodbye at the end, but nothing else all day, you might well wonder, is something wrong? If God is your Heavenly Father and you say nothing to him except hi in the morning and goodbye at bedtime, then there's something seriously wrong. If you really love him, know he cares about the whole of your life, and know he wants you to share all of your life with him, then you will think of the Lord during the day and have things to say to him during the day in your mind and heart, and a lot to which we must listen. Listen again to the first part of verse 8. God will see they get justice and quickly. You may wonder about the word quickly. Well, God's timing is sometimes different from ours. Given who God is, we can trust him, even if the timing doesn't seem to us what we hoped for, because God never makes mistakes. If we're Christians and rarely pray to God, then we shouldn't be surprised if we don't have a close relationship with him. Oh, sometimes there's much joy and praise and worship flows. You know that? But sometimes you find it's hard to pray. You're bereaved. You're ill. You're made redundant. Doubts come in. Oh, still pray. Another book I read, I can't remember, years ago, had a chapter, Prayer as Work. Sometimes it takes effort and determination and perseverance, but still we should pray. Do you understand now and accept the good reasons why we should be persistent in prayer? God has rescued you. God loves you and hears your prayers. We need to pray. We're commanded to pray. But I think we have to ask this question. How can we persist in prayer? Let's be realistic and practical. Here are some examples that are relevant for some people. If you set aside a time in the morning to pray, do you set an alarm that enables you to have time? I once remember when I was a student reading a book about setting aside time to pray. But it also said this habit that you might establish is a good habit to have, but be aware that your circumstances might change. If someone has for years the practice of praying at 7 o'clock in the morning because they don't have to leave for work till 8:30, that's fine. But if suddenly there's a child waking up and perhaps needs a mother to feed them several times during the night, they will pray later than their normal 7 o'clock when the baby suddenly falls asleep. Or the man might find, or the woman might find, their train or bus goes at 7. They're going to be out of bed at 6, leave the house at 8:30, and then their previous pattern needs revising. But that doesn't mean it wasn't good to have a habit. Well, decide to persist in prayer, friends, before you leave here tonight. Promise that to God here in his presence, and ask him for his strength to keep that promise. Start persisting in prayer soon, even this evening. Probably not helpful to say, well, I'll start to keep this promise to be persistent in prayer next month or at Easter. I noticed that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he clearly had in mind that they would sometimes pray together with other disciples. The prayer he taught them starts, Our Father. It says, give us our daily bread and forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. Now, individual prayer is fine. Perhaps you've developed the habit of praying to God during the day about things in your life. Could be spoken out loud, but don't have to be. For example, situations during the day when you have to make a decision and you're unsure what to decide. What sometimes is called an arrow prayer. Quickly ask God, help you. Or you experience something beautiful and wonderful in God's creation. and you can praise him for his power and his goodness. Or a situation when you're tempted to do or say something wrong and you need self-control, you can ask God for his help to resist the temptation. Or you actually say or do something wrong. Well, you can then admit it straight away as soon as you realize. You don't have to wait till the end of the day or next Sunday. Or you see something good. Well, thank God for it straight away. Or you see someone struggling. You can ask God to help them, but also ask God if you can help. I say it again, individual prayer is fine. Here is Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. There's a key place for individual prayer. Honest, personal conversation with God deepens our relationship with him. But prayer with other Christians is fine too and can be very helpful. Who might you pray with in 2018? Will you have the courage to suggest it to them? When and where will you pray together? You may already pray in a small group or have a prayer partner or be with two or three others who pray. But if not, could you start something new? If you'd like to meet with someone for prayer but can't think who to ask, then speak to me or one of the pastoral team and we will do our best to link you with someone. If you'd like a list of small groups which you could start to attend, please ask me or take one from the welcome desk. In fact, if you'd like to talk about anything I've said tonight, maybe because you disagree, feel free. But this parable has one more point, doesn't it? I'm going to read to you verse 8. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? New people become Christians in large numbers in some parts of the world. It's wonderful. But don't think there's coming a time when everyone on earth will have faith in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our society is not like that now, is it? When Jesus returns, he won't find that everyone present on earth has Christian faith and is looking for his coming. If Jesus comes again while I am here on earth, will he find that I'm still praying because I have true faith in him? Let's pray and then we'll sing together. Lord God, the invitation to pray to you is wonderful. For you haven't abandoned us in our lostness and darkness. You've rescued us and given us faith in Jesus. We owe you so much. How much we owe you is unspeakable. Our praises and worship could never be enough. But Lord, sometimes we confess we fail, we doubt, we neglect. But Father, you've brought us here to this point in this new year to hear your challenge that we should keep on praying and not give up. So we pray in Jesus' name. You will help us to persist in prayer and be glad to do so. Strengthen us for that in this year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.